Please turn to Luke chapter 1. I've entitled this, Just As You Are. Makes me think of that hymn we sing, Just As I Am Without One Plea. See what we can find about that here this morning in the characters, the people involved in the event of Christ coming to the earth. Let's pray. Ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed day. We thank you for this blessed event that took place a little over 2,000 years ago and is still so, so special. Will always be for all eternity. For we have eternal life because Jesus came. As we consider this subject today, looking at the event of Christ coming to earth in a little different, from a little different angle, help us to understand the wonderful truth that goes along with Christ coming to this earth. We pray for your help in this study, and we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are a number of people involved, and beginning with Zacharias, who would be the father of John the Baptist, and his wife Elizabeth. And then there is Mary and Joseph, and the shepherds, and Simeon in the temple, and Anna, and the wise men. There's something about the combination of these people that I want to consider for us this morning. So we're going to look at each of them individually and then bring the point together at the end. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. Zacharias the priest. We know he was elderly because over in verse 18 of this chapter, Zacharias himself says in the middle of the verse, For I am an old man. So he's elderly, but he is a priest. And a priest had to be very careful in the conducting of his duties in the temple. This was an exclusive group, not just anyone could be a priest. You had to be of a particular family. And you had to learn how to be a priest with great care. It involved an extensive cleansing process that they had to go through, not only of themselves, at least 7 days before they were going to go into the temple, but then in the process of doing their duties, everything had to be kept perfectly clean. Entering the temple was not something to be taken lightly, because only this exclusive group of priests were allowed into that building. They had to do everything precisely and carefully, participating in rituals and religious duties and the offering of sacrifices. Everything had to be perfect. There had to be great attention to detail. Everything just had to be perfect. Our elders might relate in a small way to something about this when they prepare the table for communion. You know, they don't come in their grubbies and dirty hands. They want to be very careful about making sure everything is clean, clean cups, the right bread, the right juice, arrange it in the proper order, things done carefully. Zacharias, the priest, was one of these folks involved in the coming of Christ. And then there was his wife, Elizabeth. Continuing with verse 5 in Luke chapter 1, and his wife was one of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, she was a wife and a homemaker. She was accustomed to taking care of the house, managing the household, being a help to her husband. Unfortunately, Elizabeth was in her old age and was not a mother. And so there was a note of sadness in her life. Over in verse 25 in this chapter, when we are told that she discovers she's having this child in her old age, miraculously by the power of God, she says, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." And so up until this point, all her married years when she was not able to have any children, there was a sense of reproach that she felt all the time, sadness in her life. Have you ever experienced a disappointment that just stayed with you for a very long time? Perhaps you can understand what Elizabeth felt for many years up to this point. Then we come to Mary. Chapter 1, verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. She was a young, unmarried woman, and she was a virgin. She was innocent in her youthfulness. She was much less experienced than Elizabeth. Elizabeth, being in her old age, had been a wife for many years, much experience in those years. Mary was young, just starting out. But she was engaged, and there was so much to be happy about and to look forward to. In such contrast to the sadness that would have permeated the heart of Elizabeth, sensing the reproach of men, Mary is happy, joyful. She's looking forward to married life. She's making plans, and she's full of hope. Do you remember when you were planning your wedding? Oh, the anticipation. The details. The things to make, the things to buy, the things to get ready, the people to invite, the decisions to make. And yet there's such joy and happiness and the sense of new love that comes to the hearts of young people. This was Mary. Then there was Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And Joseph also went up. I'm sorry, that was Luke 2:4. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, Joseph was a carpenter. We don't know that from the text of Scripture in the context of Jesus coming to earth, but over in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 55, it tells us in that place that Joseph was a carpenter. Matthew chapter 13, verse 54, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son?" Joseph was a carpenter. In other words, he was a skilled laborer. He had a skill. Now, I did a little research on what the carpenters were like back in those days. Some people suggest that because most of the buildings were built out of stone and mortar and things of that nature, that the carpenters really didn't work with wood, but that wasn't really true. There were a lot of wood things that they made back in those days, and carpenters were familiar with all kinds of wood. And we have trees mentioned in Scripture. Even in the temple, there was cedar trees and things of that nature used. So he was accustomed to using a hammer and nails, a compass and a saw, a plane and marking tools and files and chisels and awls. He knew how to dovetail and to miter joints. And they did a lot of that back in those days because just didn't have the glues or the nails or the screws that we have. And it made beautiful, beautiful furniture that was probably better made than much that we have these days. Carpenters in those days also made boats and agricultural tools, flooring in houses and windows and stairs. He was a skilled worker. And Joseph was a young man with much ahead of him. Now, have you heard the traditions that Joseph was really an old man who married a young virgin, and they never consummated the marriage because Mary was a virgin all her life, and Joseph didn't live very long, and all that's tradition in some Christian circles. But I think there are some things in Scripture that speak against that. First of all, let's look in Matthew chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. Matthew chapter 1, verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Now, I'm not going to graphically explain that, but you get the sense of what I'm saying there. The word till, not until, which means after. Secondly, Jesus is referred to here in verse 25 as the firstborn son. Now, there is a reason why that word is used. Otherwise, it would have been noted that this was the only begotten, not only begotten of the Father, in the sense of his divine nature, but in relationship to Mary, Jesus was the firstborn. In fact, we have reference in other places of Scripture, such as Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, where it indicates that Mary had at least six other children. Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. Once again, noting the matter that Joseph was a carpenter, it says, is not this the carpenter, in this case, describing Jesus as a carpenter who would naturally have followed the skill of his earthly father, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simeon, and are not his sisters, plural, with us here. So there are at least two girls in the family. Joseph had to be around long enough for Mary to have six more children. Joseph was a young man, I believe. Now, it's true that when Jesus started his ministry at about the age of 30, that Joseph does not appear to be around any longer. However, Joseph was in the picture for quite some years. So here is this young, skilled worker who also is looking forward to getting married. How many of you men work with your hands. Maybe not as a carpenter, maybe as a mechanic, as a machinist, as a computer technician. You use your hands to accomplish your work. You can relate to the kind of person that Joseph was. Then we come to the shepherds. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds were outdoorsmen, an entirely different kind of person. They were accustomed to sleeping outdoors and spending most of their time in the open air. They worked with animals, leading them to pasture and water, shearing their wool, protecting them from predators, doctoring them in their infirmities, helping them to birth their lambs. It was a dirty job. So much different than the priest in the temple, where everything had to be perfectly clean. Not so for the shepherds. Their life was rugged, coarse compared to the priest. Any kind of farming or agricultural occupation is hard work and long hours, braving the elements of all kinds of weather, dealing with the smells and the dirt and all the processes of life and death. And that gives you a sense of what life was like for the shepherds. Some weeks after the birth of Christ, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple to dedicate him to the Lord. And there they came upon a man named Simeon, Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. We call Simeon a senior citizen, for surely he was. He had been promised life until he saw the Messiah, verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. It appears that he was rather elderly, because notice what he says immediately after this in verse 27. It came to pass by the Spirit, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. He's ready to die. The promise of God has been fulfilled. I've lived long enough to see the Savior, and now I'm ready to go. I think surely that indicates that he's a senior citizen by any measure of our lives. And so here is this senior statesman, we might say. A just man, it describes him. That is, a man whose faith was counted for righteousness. Remember that statement with regard to Abraham? When you see a man or a woman described in Scripture as a just person, a just man, that means they are someone who has been justified. That means they have placed their faith in the Savior and their faith has been counted for righteousness. He was a just man. He was saved. And he was also devout. That word devout characterizes a worshiper who is careful not to change anything that should be observed in worship. A person who wants not in any way whatsoever to offend God. Simeon, faithful man. In the same moment, there is an elderly woman, a senior citizen as well, who is present there, and her name is Anna. Verse 36 in this chapter. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. The age of Anna has been discussed in many, many circles. We know that she's a widow. We know that she was only married for 7 years until her husband died. She's been a widow ever since. The question is she 84 years old, or has she been a widow for 84 years? The commentaries are split right down the middle. Take a vote and it comes out tied. My thought is that she's been a widow for 84 years, and she's about 106 years old. Well, 84 or 106, take your pick. She's a senior citizen, and she's a remarkable woman, for she never misses a service at the temple, ever. She spends all of her time serving God with fasting and prayers, all night and all day. And whether she's 84 years old or 106 years old, Anna had only one thing that she considered important in life, and that was serving the Lord. Simeon and Anna are senior citizens who never gave up serving God till their last breath on earth. Then the wise men come. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. These were men who were accustomed to high places. Wise men were the counselors to kings. They were accustomed to be in the company of kings and royalty all the time. They were wise. In other words, they were thinkers. They reasoned, they made decisions, and they gave advice. They were also wealthy. You know how kings in the Old Testament promised lavish gifts for good advice. So they were accustomed to this wealth being put upon them. They were capable of bearing expensive gifts to Jesus, bringing gold and frankincense and myrrh. They were cultured men. They wore the best, most expensive clothing. They no doubt had servants to wait on them. They ate the best food money could buy. They lived in expensive homes, luxuriously furnished. They slept in the most comfortable beds imaginable. And on top of that, they were Gentiles. Perhaps we could say these were equivalent to today's presidential cabinet. those who stand as his counselors and give him advice and who are accustomed to moving about in high places. This was quite a collection of individuals. A priest, a man of sacred calling and reverential service, a homemaker, a dutiful wife, faithful for many years, a young, single woman with everything to look forward to in life, pure in her character, a carpenter, trained, skilled worker, shepherds, hard-working men who were dirty most of the time, living rugged lives. An elderly, retired statesman, an elderly widow, yet active senior citizens, and wise men, members of the elite from high places. So many differences between these folks, rich and poor, old and young, single, married, widowed, rugged and cultured, happy and sad, religious Jews, skilled workers, rugged outdoorsmen, wealthy, refined Gentiles. What a group. But they all had one thing in common. All their eyes were focused on Jesus. Many of us have nativity scenes that we use as decorations at Christmas time. I suspect that in most of those, as it should be, as you place each of the individual pieces, that they are all facing the manger, as it should be. Here are all these different individuals. All the different lifestyles. All the different ages. All the different conditions of life. But it didn't matter about their age, or their work experience, or their background, or their nationality, or their gender, or their financial status. They were all welcome to turn their hearts to Christ. And that is what God meant when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." Here is the whosoever. Right in the event of Christ coming to earth, and all of these different individuals, and as we give out our message regarding the gospel of Jesus Christ, we should recognize the same thing. It doesn't matter about the person, who they are, where they came from, or what the circumstances are of their lives. Each and every one and all of them are welcome to come to Christ. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. The invitation is clear. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. All are welcome to join us in Christ. Now, as Jesus said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. To those who have come and found that rest in him, he says, go. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. May we be grateful this Christmas day that we have all been welcomed to Christ. And in that gratefulness, may we go from here and invite others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful lesson in the events surrounding the coming of Christ to this earth. Bless these truths to our hearts and use us to bring glory to your name this day and in the coming year. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.